Yo, what is going on, guys? We are back with another episode of Mogcast.
Episode number 46.
We are here with the one and only Germer, the also known as like the owner of Young LA, aka Gary. Yeah. This is like a long time coming. I've been asking you to come to Houston for a minute now, and stars have aligned, and you know, it's like business trip, so we decided to get him on the pod. Super excited to just talk and
business,
and
huh?
This is his first, yeah, business. This is business, his first
30
business
trip.
We have
business.
This Friday today, so it's still a weekday. We have some business to do,
definitely.
But today is the first time that he's ever done like any long form content. So hopefully, you guys can get to learn something about him.
Definitely, I'm low key kind of nervous, but I'm very excited as well. Like
we're just waiting for the last outs to hit.
Yeah, but definitely, we took a little shot, but yeah, it's kicking in. I feel good, so I'm excited.
Oh yeah, I'm really happy you're here, dude. Seriously.
Yeah, thank you, bro.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be in Houston finally and meet the boys and see. I feel like I've been to this house already, but it's cool to be here. I love it.
Yeah, that's fucking dope. But I like first question because I think everybody like wants to know.
Yeah.
Like how did Young LA start or what was like the first product?
Do I have to wear them?
You don't have to wear them.
You can wear, I usually wear one ear on, one ear off. Well, I think, should we do first question? I want to know your upbringing. Like, what was that like?
My upbringing, so I was born in India. So I was born in 1992, so I'm 30 years old right now. I was born in India. I moved to the U.S. when I was 10. Lived in New Jersey for about 4 years.
Damn, yo, shout out New Jersey. Yeah,
shout out New Jersey.
I had no idea you lived in New Jersey.
Wait, so why did your parents want to move out?
So my grandfather was actually lived in the U.S. since 1986, I believe. And he was here for a long time. Him and my grandmother, who I still live with, actually, he was here. And like, yeah, he just thought like it was like a way better future for our family to be in the U.S. So he really wanted us to move. My dad actually had like we were doing good in India, but. And then he wanted us to move in.
Well, I've seen videos. You showed me some videos of what your house looked like back in India.
Yeah.
And it didn't, I'll just be straight up. It didn't look like that's living good. So
yeah,
what
we were like a middle class family in India, but we're still not like,
in India standards, is that good?
India is like, you know, poverty is like pretty bad. So we weren't like, you know, like loaded by any chance, but you know, we weren't like terrible. I mean, we had enough money to come to the US, which means a lot, you know, like, because when you convert rupees to dollars, like it's hard. So
yeah
we were doing okay, and my grandfather was here and stuff. So I lived in India for until I was 10, and so I moved. It was like my grandfather's goal that the kids will have a lot better future in the U.S. so that's why we were like, all right,
That happened.
Yeah,
that's wait, so dope. what did your parents do for work once they got here?
My dad actually just worked at this shop in New York. He was making like $400 a week, something like that, and just like, it was like a gift store. And then he eventually like partnered up with that person and also did like a clothing business and like souvenirs and stuff like that for New York. And we were like really close to New York City. So we did that for a while, and it was cool. But yeah, I lived from my fourth grade to seventh grade. I was in New Jersey. It was cool. It was a really good experience. I actually learned how to hustle in New Jersey, because like, you know, life is way different out there coming to LA. And I actually helped me and Robbie. So Robbie's the other Young LA partner. Yeah. A lot of people don't
know. Shout out Robbie. He's sitting right here.
Yeah. Shout out Robbie. He's right there. But he's my brother. Pretty much I live with that guy like all day long. And, you know, we run the company together and all that stuff. So
yeah,
it's dope. And yeah, my dad worked. He eventually started his own business in New Jersey, just selling like souvenirs in New York and stuff like that. And I actually helped him a lot back then, because he moved to California a year before us. But we had to wrap up the business because he found a good opportunity to be in California.
How old were you?
I was in seventh grade. And
so you guys were in charge of like...
We were in charge for a year to finish, wrap up the business, like sell out the leftover inventory. Mm-hmm. So Robbie would actually go to New York, get orders for the, like in wholesale orders. Like he would just write stuff down on paper. And actually we had a little backyard like guest house, and all the inventory for his business was there, and I would like pack everything and do all that stuff. We eventually got like a little warehouse too, but that's kind of where I started like being an entrepreneur. So that was like the
dude, that's fucking dope.
Yeah,
I had no idea. That's the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah. So seventh grade, that's when I was like, okay, this is how a business ran. And like my whole life I was like, I knew I wanted to run a business eventually, and like my dad like really distilled that into, you know, me and Robbie. And it was like, all right, I was like, I think I can do this, like, you know, I'm pretty good around people, and like I'm a people's person and stuff. So I was like, I think I have it in me. So it was cool.
So when he moved to California, it took a year. So what were you expecting when you went to California? Like, did he tell you, like, yo, we got, like, this lined up? Or was it just, like, fuck it, let's just run that?
So, the business in New Jersey actually was not doing that well. And then he got a job opportunity to be in California. And it was, like, a lot more money and stuff like that. So, he took it. And then, so when I moved here, I was, like, I actually was pretty sad to leave New Jersey. Because I finally, like, you know, started to make friends and establish myself. Yeah. Like, my English was getting better.
Stuff so, like that. When you moved over here, did you know English back in India, like, pretty well?
So, in India being colonized by the British, you know, like, everyone in India speaks some sort of English. Uh-huh. Like, it's not that bad, but, like, obviously the Indian accent is pretty bad. So, when I came here, like, I knew English decently. They put me in ESL classes, actually.
Oh, really?
My first couple of months. It's a funny story, actually. So, I was in ESL for literally 2 weeks. And I had my dad take me out because I used to love playing basketball in India. And, like... Mm-hmm. It was either I would go to PE, because PE was only 2 days in India, I mean, in New Jersey. And so it was either I go to PE or I go to my ESL class. And I was like, I don't want to take ESL because I wanted to play basketball in PE and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I had my dad come to school, take me out of ESL. And actually, that was like the best thing for me because I actually like hung out with American kids and my English got way better because I was like talking to them. Versus in ESL, it was a bunch of other Indians.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
I was like, my English was only going to get worse over there. So yeah. It was cool.
Yeah, like, that's actually dope because like you learn more just playing PE, playing ball,
exactly,
rather like, than like
talking
a teacher,
to kids. Yeah. And instead of like, because I had a better foundation than a lot of the other kids already, and so it was cool. It was a lot easier, and like I made friends. So I'm like, you know, I'm a social butterfly at the end of the day, so like I made friends pretty easily, so it's cool.
So what job opportunity was it that your dad had over in California? Because that's like a big move.
Yeah, so there was these gift stores called Oz. They're not an hour anymore, but he got an opportunity to be their district manager for these three stores. And he took that opportunity, ran with it. They actually started an Amazon business while he was there, like when Amazon was kind of coming up, like third party sellers on Amazon and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the foundation of Young LA too. Like, I don't know, a lot of people know, but Amazon was where we first started. And he learned a lot of that at his work, how like selling on Amazon. And he would always talk about his, you know, work at home. And that's kind of when we started going into business. I was like, yo, Amazon could be a good opportunity for selling stuff. So, yeah, so that was a big opportunity for him, and he took it. And I'm glad he did because California is way better than New Jersey, especially where we lived. It was kind of in the ghetto and stuff, and, like, houses were tiny, and we finally moved mm-hmm. here. Like, we had an apartment at first, lived in an apartment for a couple of years, and then finally got our house. But it was, like, a small house. But I love California compared to New Jersey, like, the weather, people, like, you know. I think New Jersey has its good parts too, but where we lived, it was in that night. So mm-hmm.
You said you learned how to hustle there. Like, what do you mean by that?
The business, that was a big part of it. Like, you know, going, like, Robbie would get orders and I would just like pack stuff, and then we would actually do deliveries together. And like,
so you were like 10, 11 years old at this point.
Yeah. I was like, when we finally started doing the business stuff, I was like 12, and like getting money from these people, it was a pain in the ass, like the wholesalers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pain in the ass. So like learning that and just like getting paid and making sure, because we would give them stuff for credit, you know, and then we're getting paid or just packing orders. And honestly, just like getting accustomed to the American lifestyle, that was like kind of like, you know, there was to be a hustle involved in that, because like making friends and stuff like that, it wasn't really there, you know, earlier. So that's that year, those few like 4 years of New Jersey like really changed me. So I was like,
yeah. So which part of California did you move to?
I was in LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've been in LA basically since you were in like seventh, eighth grade.
So
right?
Eighth grade, I went to LA in the Valley where I still live. And yeah, we've been in LA the whole time. And I went to school in Santa Barbara, like college.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved out of LA for that, and then lived in Irvine for a little bit, which is in Orange County, but pretty much been in SoCal since eighth grade.
So you were doing, you kind of learned that hustle, like entrepreneurship mindset when you were in New Jersey. But it's because your dad left, you kind of had to take things over. When you moved to LA, did you still have any of that in your life, or was it more just school oriented?
So I was always like, I got to make my own money. I didn't like asking parents for money or just, I was like, always like, I was always a hustler. So actually in eighth grade,
yeah,
I would fill up my backpack with like 80 cans of soda.
You were one of those kids,
yeah,
bro.
So I was one of those kids. So
you'd sell them?
I would just like get my refrigerator completely packed with 80, like 30 to 40 cans of soda, and then just go to school with like hunched over with like a big ass backpack.
Teachers
and
are then, like, what the fuck are you carrying around? Yeah. It's books.
And then I would just like kind of leave them in my locker. My locker was under the shade, so they would actually stay cold throughout the day and just keep going and refilling. But like, dude, I was buying like a can for like 25 cents, selling it for a dollar. And I was like, I was making money. I was like, at one point I was like, dude, I got like hella money. I was buying shoes. I was doing whatever I wanted to. And I was like, that was like the initial like hustling for myself and being an entrepreneur and stuff. And it was cool. And then I continued doing that in college, selling chocolates, doing this shit, doing that.
I was smoking weed in high school, bro. Yeah, bro.
So actually in 10th grade, when the 3GS came out, remember the iPhone 3GS?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would actually buy it from people for cheap and then put a bunch of them together and sell it to these Asian wholesalers who would send it to China. And I would make like $50 to $100 on iPhones. And I started doing that in 10th grade. Like I would like drive around all of LA buying cell phones and stuff and then sell it to like these wholesalers. And like, so that was another business that I did in 10th grade and just continued doing stuff like that. Like for a while I did like cell phone cases on Amazon. All in high school.
So how would you find these people that were like selling these phones? Would you just go on like Facebook Marketplace or something?
Craigslist was popping back then. Damn. Everything was Craigslist was huge. So I did that for a while, and like the reason was like these people were willing to pay more because I was able to sell four or five at a time, and they didn't have to run because they were doing the same thing, but I was like doing the busy work for them. I had actually a minivan in 10th grade, Ford Windsor, and I would just run around, you know, getting these cell phone cases and do that. And it was. That was a really cool experience. I remember this one time I had a buyer and a seller at my house at the same time. And like, I had to change my address, get them to a different street and buy it. And it was like, it was cool. But yeah, that was like the foundation of what I'm doing today, I guess. That was cool.
So this was in 10th grade. Were you still like, did you still have motivation to try in school, or were you more like, fuck this because I'm making money on my own? And like,
no, I always like was like I wanted to go to college, like get a degree and all that stuff, and I'm still by that. Like even though like business is amazing, like I still think college degree is very important. You know,
talking to do dropouts right now.
Yeah, I know. you were actually the first person that I actually recommended to drop out because it like for me it was like you had such a big opportunity in front of you, and I was like you need to put your full focus. But yeah. Other than you, like. Every other person, I'm like, yo, stay in school, finish school. Cause uh-huh. I think school, like college is way more than just the school experience. Like I think the experience of living with friends and just like you learn like networking and all that stuff. Like I'm still like really, really good friends with all my college homies. Mm. Like, you know, we're still like a family and like those are some of my best friends still. So I still recommend going to college. Like, you know, it's like, it's okay to do side hustles and stuff like that in college. And I think doing other things, but I still recommend going to college. But unless you come up with like a crazy opportunity where you're like, yo, like this is what I want to do, and you know, then you drop out and then like, you know, leave. But I think getting a college degree is never going to hurt you. So, and I think it's a lot more than just the school aspect. It's the aspect of being around other people, networking, learning from, like, there's a lot of shit that I learned in college that like it wasn't taught through school. It was taught through my friends, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess.
That's what I feel like college is. Like, it's a lot of it has to do with just like making connections and also building your character and how you speak to people.
Yeah.
And like, it's less, it should be about the books, but I think for me, it was less about the books and more about just like
for sure.
talking to people and
definitely
and learning people's personalities.
Yeah. Like, I learned, like when people drink and they get hiccups and stuff, right? Like, I have this trick where people lose their hiccups. Like, you walk backwards with your like nose closed and shit, or just like, but every time I do that, like people
random,
always like
random trick,
right? But people are like, where'd you learn that? I was like, college, bro. Yeah. Or like, when you get sand in your eye, like how do you take it out? Yeah. Like dumb shit like that, right? Like learned it in college, you know?
You learned how to get sand out of your eye and how to get rid of hiccups, and it cost you $40,000 a year.
I think it was worth it. So many more of those, you know? So
the one thing that I've used or that I learned in college that I use now is Excel. And that's only because of you. Like
Excel is
because
amazing.
I learned Excel in business 101.
Yeah.
And so now, like, because I'm doing work for you, it's like now I get to learn, or now I actually get to apply that to Excel. So it was actually, honestly, it felt really good knowing that, like, I learned this in college and now I'm using it. Now I'm actually using it. It felt like it was like something I've never experienced.
You actually remembered how to use it all these years later?
It kind of comes back to you. So I actually, something that I was like kind of pissed about, my school actually didn't, even though I did econ and accounting. So I double majored in econ and accounting in college. And they didn't really teach us Excel as well as I think they should have. Mm-hmm. And I actually learned. So I, as so going into college story, like, you know, so after high school, college, obviously. So at first I was like, I want to be an entrepreneur and do all that stuff. But then eventually I got into a lot of the, my friends and stuff. So I wanted to do econ, but they were also doing like double majors, like econ and accounting. So I ended up doing accounting because there was like more job opportunities and stuff like that. So a couple of years into college, I got like brainwashed to thinking like an accounting job at these big, so there's a, for accounting, there's a thing called Big Four, which is these big four firms that you want to be at after you graduate from an accounting degree, which one of them is Ernst & Young, which I got a job at after college. And I was like, the day I got like my full-time offer, like I was so excited. But then looking back, I realized like in college, I got brainwashed to thinking like that was the best thing I could do for myself. Mm-hmm. So like first year out of college, I got a job, 57,000 K. And I was like so excited, like 57,000 K a year. And I was like, yo, this is the best shit for me. And like, and then so that's actually where I really learned Excel, was working at Ernst & Young, which is like a big, big firm. They have like, I don't know, like 400,000 people across the world that work for that company. You know, at Ernst & Young, you just work there for years and years and you like slowly grow your pay and stuff like that. And so I wanted to be a CPA too and stuff like that right after college. But 8 months into college, I was like, dude, fuck this. Like, this is not what I want to do.
Eight months into the job. Like, fuck it.
I was like, dude, I do not want to do this. Like, this is the, like, I was literally, so I was an auditor for Ernst & Young. So I was pretty much like looking at people's taxes and like making sure what they put
in there. You were an op, bro.
Yeah, you were an op.
Fuck auditors.
So I was literally just checking like if they were saying like this is true, like, you know, is it actually true? And just like checking all their shit. And like 8 months into it, I was like, dude, like, if this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, like, fuck this. Like, I'd rather kill myself. Like, day long, just looking at spreadsheets. And it taught me a few things working at EY, like how like a corporate world works. And like, I definitely implied those things into Young LA, like after, like, especially where we are now. And, but it like those few months were just like terrible. Like, I was like literally depressed. Mm. And then finally, so Robbie was doing Young LA stuff. Like, we had started our eBay account and he quit his job before I did. And so we were just selling random shit on eBay. We were selling like Tupac shirts, Vans, Converses, like blank tees, Biggie shirts, just like vape pens actually.
Well, how are you making like money on that?
So we would just buy wholesale buy from downtown LA, like buy 12 pieces, buy 24 pieces of random things that we saw that could sell on eBay. And we were just buying that together. Me and Robbie were doing that. And we were just, whatever it was, like it was Vans or like whatever we saw a good opportunity. Cause downtown LA has like a crazy hub of like fashion stuff. So whatever we wanted to buy, Robbie was buying it. And then we would put it on eBay. Like I was doing a lot of like the listing work on eBay. And then whatever would start selling, we would keep buying more and more. And we did that for a long time. So that was like the foundation of Young LA. That's when 2000, like
Tupac shirts, bro.
Tupac
and Vans.
What's what was this, 2014 or something?
2015 is when that kind of started.
So you were still working your accounting job and you were doing this on the side?
So in college, I was doing this on the side. When I did the accounting job, they were making me work like, bro, I was working like 70 hours a week, like insane hours for $57,000 a year, which is like terrible. And There were days I was working like 70 hours a week. So I was like insane. And like, I didn't mind the hours because I still work those crazy hours now, but it was more of the work was just so dry. And then, so those few months, I didn't really, we were able to be too involved on like the eBay stuff, but Robbie was kind of carrying that. And then I realized, I was like, dude, this is not going to happen. Like, I don't want to do this. And then I quit my job, which a lot of people were like, dude, what are you fucking thinking? Like,
All your accounting homies?
All my accounting homies, all my mom's friends, or like all like the older Indian people.
Yeah.
So all the older Indian people were like, dude, this is the best you can do thing for you. Because like Indian mentality is like a lot of like, oh, get a job, you know, like this is what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. College job.
College job.
Do that forever.
It's like that for most immigrants, I think.
Exactly. And it's like a very safe route and it works. It works for most people, right? But I was like, there's no, like, oh, I remember like when I was about to quit, like I talked to my mom about it. My mom was like, dude, all my customers, because she used to run like a little salon at our house. She was like, all my customers saying like, this, you're making a big mistake. And like, my dad always like really, really supported me. Like, yo, this is not what you want to do. Like he was an entrepreneur in India. And so he was like, and in New Jersey too. So he was like, quit it. Like I support you. Like you're made for bigger things. So I quit my job and then I joined Robbie completely full time. And that's when stuff like really started to grow. But for a while, Young LA was not even a thing. So Young LA.
Wait, really quick. Cause you're talking about your dad. I texted Joe and I asked him to bring some lemon soda here.
Oh,
so
sick.
Yeah. So Joe, if you don't mind grabbing some of those. So his dad actually runs a glassware company.
Thank you. I appreciate that, bro. Yeah, of course, really, dude.
So
I'm gonna pour my seltzer in here.
So it's like a bunch of dope glassware. I actually use it. I use the skinny ones for like the mojito, like the mojito one. I use those to make mojitos, but I don't really know how to make them, so I just fucking smash shit together. Look at that.
So what was
works perfectly?
What was your dad doing in India for, like, you said he was like entrepreneurial?
So we had our own shop. It was like in India they call it a shop. It was like kind of like a deli. And he was just selling random things, like bread, like pastries. Because my grandfather was here too. We would come visit. So my first time I came to the U.S., it was 97, just to visit. And we made a few visits. So he would get some stuff from here. So it was like exclusive, like American stuff. And we would sell it at the shop. But it was a lot of like chicken, like raw chicken, like just random things like in Indian. It was like a little, like probably like 300 square feet. Like shop, but it was like it was always popping. Like it would always do well, and like, you know, like sandwiches, or like my mom was involved in it too, just like random things. And he was doing that for a while, pretty much like all of his like 20s or even 30s. So that was like,
so he's always been like an entrepreneur.
My dad was always an entrepreneur. So when he saw that in me too, and when I was like, he was like, oh, you're gonna do this job, like he was happy for me because like it was like a very prestigious company to be at. But then once I like started talking to him about like, yo, like I don't really like working here, he was like, yeah, dude, you're meant for way better things. Like, fuck this. Like, you know, and like, thank God, like I didn't listen to a lot of people, because my goal for a while was like, I'm probably going to work there for like 5 years, get my CPA, and then maybe do something on my own. But if I would have waited those 5 years, like I feel like I'd be so behind and like miss that timeline of like trying to do something big, you know? So,
yeah.
I'm glad I didn't listen to a lot of the, most people told me not to leave, but you know, my dad supported it.
And my heart supported it.
Yeah.
I feel like you two and then Giordani were the only ones being like, yeah, fuck college, bro. And like everybody else was being like, I don't know, dude. Yeah. Like,
yeah, bro. I was on FaceTime with you. I was like, drop out.
I know.
So. I was, cause usually like I tell people like have a backup plan, right? In life. And that's important. Right. So like I do still have my college degree, but with you, like just the first few months you being in Young LA, the potential that you had, I was like, dude, this is, I had never seen anything like that before. I still remember the day you signed, you got 90 orders on your first day, like sales wise. And I was like,
damn,
what the fuck? Like, cause like at that time, like no other athlete was like that, you know? And just to see that, I was like, dude, you gotta fully put all your like eggs in this basket, like make content, like do this every day. And like, so I supported that completely, and I'm glad you listened.
Yeah. Plus, me and Sushu said plenty of times in the podcast that like college is always a backup plan. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take a gap year, quote unquote, and see if it works out, you can always go back to college, but you can't go back to opportunity. So if opportunity presents itself, that's like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
But college, it's like, if shit really doesn't work out and you are broke as fuck and nothing that you're doing is working, you can always go back and be like, I'm back in college now, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I told my mom. Cause I was like, yeah, I'll go back in a year. But in my head, I was like, bro, I'm not fucking going
back.
Wait,
so with you, was it kind of the same in terms of like your dad supported it, but your mom didn't?
Cause your mom is more, my dad was more like whatever. Like if it works, it works. If it doesn't, like you fucked up. It's like kind of like learn from your own mistakes.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to tell you what to do. Cause I was, you know, 19, 20 years old at the time.
Yeah.
But my mom, yeah, she was upset. Cause she's first generation American.
Yeah.
So
did she actually and Asians
are very like, you know, academic, like get your fucking degree.
And I support that. It's funny. Your mom just DM'd me like a month ago on my personal account. And she was like, thank you for like taking care of Sush and all. It was like the sweetest message that I ever got. Like I almost wanted to like tear me up a little bit.
Now she's good. So
now she's happy.
Yeah. Now she's fucking happy. Yeah. For sure.
But for him, it was like, he had so much momentum going into like when he was in college. I was like, bro, if you waste your time on school right now, like the momentum's not gonna stay, you know? So like you can't focus on two things at once. You have something that most people don't, like, you know, in the fitness industry, like 99% of the people don't make money, you know, because they're like, there's so many of these kids that are trying to do big things, but they don't, like, the personality on the camera, it's not something you can like get over time or like dwell
up.
You can't train it. Like he had that. Like he was funny on camera from day one. Like I watched his videos, like, bro, this guy is funny. I remember the first video I watched, it was like you trying out like a bunch of different like protein bars. And I was like, I was entertained the whole time. And I was like, dude, this is good content, you know? And like, I was like, dude, leave your fucking, like, drop out right now. Like, do this full time. And And I like, it was obviously huge for Young LA too. So I was like, bro, this is going to go hand in hand. And so mm-hmm. I was like, I'm glad.
I think I signed with y'all when y'all had like 40 or 50K on IG.
Yep.
And then I had like only 13K on IG. And then I had like done that post where I was like in my LA Fitness back in Georgia. Yep. And I was like wearing the Superlative joggers mm-hmm. and the bamboo tank, the teal bamboo
and
tank.
You remember the fit.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember that post. I remember the exact caption, Young LA, email me back.
Yeah.
And
I'm pissed though, because I went back, because when you guys signed me, I like changed the caption of it.
Yep.
But like now when you go back, I changed it back to what it was, but it says edited like 4 months ago or whatever. Yeah. So it's not like, it's not as sick. So if you guys go back to the post, it'll say edited because I changed it back to the original thing.
That post is like legendary. Yeah, I think it'll always go down in history.
Definitely, that shit changed my life 100%.
And honestly, I see so many people doing that now, like tag Young LA or spam Young LA. And to me, you were that first person to be like, you know, using your followers to help you get a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. And like so many people copy that now, you know, and like try to do the same thing. And like, sometimes it works, and it's worked for other people too. Like we've you know, gotten people on the team based on spam tag. If we're getting like tagged like 300-400 times in a day, like I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go look at it. Yeah, like,
that shit shows up on the notifications.
Exactly. Yeah,
so but I think it's different now because 99% of the people that are doing that tactic just want to get on Young LA because of the hype.
Yeah.
But I think with him, it was like, I don't give a fuck about the hype. I just fuck with the clothes.
Bro, I wanted the free clothes because I was spending money using John's code.
That's funny.
And I was in college. I was like, bro, I don't have this money.
Because if he really just wanted in for the money, he probably would have like spam tagged like Gymshark or something. Yep. But he was like, no, I fuck with this company.
Yeah.
Now people have, it's just turned into like, oh, this company's so hype. Like, I'm going to just spam tag him.
That's funny because like, I was really hesitant to sign John when we first like signed him, because it was like, so it was Giordani was like our first 2019. Giordani was our first big athlete at all, like that we signed.
Wait, so can we just talk a little bit about Giordani getting signed and the process that went into that?
Can you get into it?
Yeah, of course. So first of all, like I think I want to like tell people where the name came from, right? Because a lot of people ask
all the time.
So eBay days, we needed a username for Young LA. And it was Robbie was listening to the radio and it was like 105.9. It was a DJ called Young California. And that's where Young LA came from, because Young California, he was like, yo, this is a cool DJ name. And we needed a username for our eBay account. And so it was like, okay, Young California, Young LA, that's got a ring to it. Yeah. So we had Young-LA was our username for a long time. And we were just selling like the same thing, Tupac shirts or whatever, right? And then we eventually made an Amazon account. And then we saw a need for short shorts on like men's short shorts, because nobody was had that at the time. Like there were some in Australia back then, and like people were wearing that here, but no brand in the US made short shorts.
Is that where the bodybuilding lift shorts came from?
Yes, the
101. So those have been around for a minute.
101, those are the first.
Yeah, oh shit.
101. Oh, 101. Shit. Damn. You have nothing under, it's not like 98. Like you don't have any, it starts at 100.
Yeah, and those are the one of the first, like this probably like the first product, and it's still around. There's a lot of other products where like that came after that that are not around, but those shorts still
sell like crazy, bro.
Still sell like crazy. Every time we restock them, they sell out. So
so
those were like, Robbie's like, yo, we got to make something of our own. And I was like, you sure? Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's a good idea. Cause like, I don't know if people are going to want something that's not, cause we were just selling like branded stuff at that time. We're like, you know, Tupac, but mm-hmm. Young LA wasn't a thing. It was just a username. Mm. And so we made these shorts and they actually started selling on Amazon. Like for back then, like we're selling like 20, 30 shorts a day sometimes. And I was like, holy shit, like this is a lot of shorts. Yeah. Like,
wait, so how 20 did you to 30 go about- days
is kind of a shit ton, bro.
20, 30 shorts a day.
Yeah.
So I was like,
that's
holy
crazy.
Shit.
Yeah,
like hundreds of dollars a day. So how did you go about finding a manufacturer back then?
So we actually talked to like, because like Robbie knew a lot of people in downtown LA, so like that's when we first started talking to manufacturers. And then the other thing that we did was go to trade shows in Vegas. There's a trade show like Magic, and there's like other ones that you go and like you meet manufacturers, and like that's how like they have like a sourcing section. So if you want to, you know, if you want to get and start your own brand, like instead of making stuff in the US, we were like, hey, let's talk to these manufacturers who, you know, so at these trade shows they'll have like a section for China, they'll have a section for like Pakistan and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we went there, talked to manufacturers. So building the manufacturers was like the biggest key of, you know, the success.
I feel like that's the main thing that it, like, if you want to start a business, you got to find a good manufacturer.
Exactly. And we went through so many of them, right? Like there's a lot of people that we worked with in the beginning that we don't work with anymore. You know, there was like, you go through a lot of trash because like people are not organized, or like they hype you up like, yo, we'll do this and promises that for you. And shit. So, false promises. So many false promises left and right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we found some good people, started making stuff with them. And then, you know, that's where the foundation of the manufacturers was started. But following along to that story. So we were just an Amazon brand for a long time. So 2016, 2017, Amazon, that's all we did. That's when Young LA started, like the Young LA. So we had a side of Amazon that was just random products. And then after that, there was a side that we started building. Like there was a 101 shorts. We had these like soccer pants. Those were the 202s or the 201s. Like there was different like jogger mm-hmm. shorts that we started making.
The tight ones?
The tight one with
the, yeah, with the stripe on the
four,
side.
Four stripes. Yeah. So those were like the 201 soccer pants that we sold for a long time. But we would make these like big listings on Amazon and just like sell the same product. Like it wasn't like we were dropping new products all the time, but we would get one product, perfect it, have a listing on Amazon and just trying to get more reviews. I remember I used to like fake, like tell my friends to like buy stuff on Amazon and then like I would pay them for it and then they would leave a review. Mm-hmm. And that's what, how like we started building our Amazon listings. And it's funny because like some of my friends still like ask me about that and stuff. So like I was like, you know, like a lot of people like helped me get to where, like, you know, with the reviews and stuff, it was huge.
Yeah. I like that. I like that how on the Young LA website now you can still leave a review and people leave photos and shit. And that's something that, like, you guys have always been. I remember, like, when I was shopping on the site, I would always go look and see how that shit would fit.
Dude, the reviews are honestly, like, huge. Cause, like, a lot of these guys love leaving, like, photo reviews and you actually see, like, customer and, like, you know, especially if you've been to the, if you come to the website and you've never been there before, or, like, you don't even know what Young LA is, which is, you know, still a lot of people. Like, we get new customers all the time, but you see, like, there's actual people like loving the clothes and loving the brand. And like, they're like so excited to leave these reviews and there's actual photos. Cause like you can lie and write fake, like, you know, words, mm-hmm. but you can't lie with the photos. You know, if you got like hundreds of people, like some of our products have like 600-700 reviews under one product.
Like what? Perfect Tees?
Perfect Tee has like 700 reviews. The 101 shorts has like insane amount of reviews. Yeah. So it's like,
it's still insane how well Perfect Tee, are they still your number one item?
Yes, like overall, because we always keep that in stock. Yeah. So like overall number wise, like perfect.
They're out of stock right now, bro. The straight bottoms.
Oh shit.
Because I like every time I posted them, people are like, "Yo, what's the shirt?" Yeah. And I'm like, "Straight bottom perfect tee," but it's sold out.
Talk to Sarkis, dude. He's our inventory guy.
Sarkis, get on it, bro.
Sarkis got to get on it. But we try to keep those things in stock all the time. But you know,
because those are like your staple. Like mm-hmm. that's what you came up on, and they still fucking hit. Yeah. Like they eat. Exactly. So, like,
we spend a lot of time on our products. So like, you know, like, they eat because like I try literally everything on, go through all that process. So, you know, like people love them because there actually are good products, you know, and like we put a lot of time into each, everything, like every little detail. And, you know, there'll be little fuck ups. And but we also try to perfect it. Like if we do a restock, like sometimes the fitting is different because we, you know, learn the people's feedback.
Right.
And, you know, if it's like too long or too short or like it's too tight, like we'll fix that over time, too. So we like every reorder or every restock too. It's like, you know, we try to perfect the product more and more. And I think that's where a lot of my time goes into, and Robbie's, and, you know, but that's what makes the brand what it is today. So,
yeah. You were telling me that you would have like these bulk shipments and then they'd be fucked. So you just wouldn't sell them.
Dude, I've had that so many times.
What would you do with the clothes? Just like recycle them?
Damn, like I, there was a whole container of these sweaters that we made last year. It was a whole container. Like 400 boxes of these like zip up sweaters we made, and fuck, they were too tight. And I was like, I don't want to sell this. Like I was so upset because like manufacturers will fuck up left and right. Like they'll tell you they're going to send you this and it'll be all perfect and stuff like that. But when you actually get the bulk shipment, it's a whole different product. You know, that happens all the time. It happens even today. And yeah, it was just all fucked. I was like,
so did you end up like disposing of that manufacturer? Or did you just ream them out and make sure it wouldn't happen again?
If it's happened more than once, then we're like, all right, we start putting our business somewhere else. Yeah. It just depends. Like, you know, if it's like the percentage, if it's happening often, then, you know, you're out. But yeah, if it's like, you know, once in a while, like it happens. Like, but it also like depends on like how bad the mistake is, right? If it's like a little bit, like a centimeter here and there, like it's understandable, you know, things change. Like when you, cause like a lot of the samples are made in a sample room, but when they do bulk production, it's made on these like big lines and, you know, production lines. So like things do change a little bit, but if it's like, bro, like how did you not catch like this sweater being 2 inches tight? Like, you know, that's like a whole size difference. Like, and I'm not going to sell something, like tell people to buy large when they're supposed to be buying small. Like, you know, like, so yeah, in that case, it's like, all right, bro, you're out. And like, we've had to like lose like 40, 50K of like it cost on products, and even like 70K at a time. Like, just because I didn't want to sell something that people weren't going to be happy with, you know. Yeah. So that's like very important for us.
Wait, so back to the Giordani story.
Yes,
because he was back in like 2018.
Yeah,
he's like Mr. IFBB Pro, doing all these like magazine shoots. Like,
he was so
people
cringe,
see
bro.
Him nowadays.
Yeah, he used to do like the naked shoots.
Yeah, because he does like, he's all about like, you know, positive vibes and energy nowadays. But I don't think people realize like he was fitness dude.
Yeah,
like,
dude,
straight up fitness dude back in the day.
Dude, at one point his physique was
absolutely nah, bro, fucked. Bro, he looks fucking crazy.
He
still looks really good now. Like, he looks.
He's got the biggest chest of anyone.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't even train chest.
I'm small now. I'm like, dude.
He looks fucking great.
He doesn't look like an XL, but like XL stuff just looks perfect on him. And he's just like so broad and big, and like he just like genetics, but also just like I mean, he worked hard for his physique back in the day, and he was all about like, I need to be IFBB Pro. Like, so that's when, so 2018 is when we started. Like, so you know, 2017 we're like, all right, we have the Amazon stuff going, and then we finally made YoungLA.com because in order to get verified on Amazon, you had to have your own website. And that was the only reason why YoungLA.com was ever made initially.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like actually planned to sell on YoungLA.com, but it was like, if you have a website, you can get like a verified badge on Amazon.
The badge, yeah.
So we did that. And then I was like, we started getting like a couple orders on the website, like here and there. And I was like, holy shit, like every time, it was funny. Like, we were getting like 700-800 orders on Amazon every day. There was a time, and then we would get one order on the website, and like literally everybody in the office would just start clapping, bro. Like, we're like, we got an order today. Yeah. And so that, we did that for like 2017 for a while. 2018, we started getting like 4 or 5 orders every day. And I remember I used to like, I would like talk to different marketing companies and stuff like that. And I was like, my goal is just to get 100 orders on our website every day.
I could hear it
in the mic. In the mic? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Keep it down. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. But yeah, so every day, my goal, like, I would talk to these companies, like, hey, I want to, like, increase our website. Like, what can we do? And, like, you know, different marketing tactics and stuff like that. But I would always tell them, I just want to get 100 orders every day on our website. If we can do that, like, I'll be happy. That's all I want. And so we were getting, like, 10 orders at a while. So, like, 2018 was kind of like that. Very few, like, the revenue was pretty low. And then end of 2018 is I started talking to Giordani because he would model clothes for father and sons. And he was so good at the modeling, the shit that he still does, right? And I was like, bro, like, because I knew our products were there, and, like, we had the perfect products, but I was like, if I can get somebody like him to sell our products, like, I think we can kill it. But he didn't want to sign with us because nobody, like, we had 10K followers. Like, he was still, like, at, like, 500K. Like, he was like, why would I be with a brand like this? He was a brand called Spear that, like, it was, like, they were literally a dead brand, but they were paying him because they were, like, backed up by, like, some government shit. But they were paying him like 2K a month or something. And he was like, bro, I don't literally have to do no work for this brand. So why would I sign with you? I literally kept bugging him for 6 months, DM him, tried doing calls. And then finally, end of 2018, he was like, all right, fine. Like, let's do this. And then we negotiated a deal and stuff. And at that time, I was like, bro, this is so much money. And doing a full year contract, I was like so stressed out. It was like a very small contract compared to what things are today. But he finally agreed 2019. He finally like, oh, I'm with Young LA. That's what we kind of like, we were put on the map. And that's when we started, like, you know, he started doing his try-on hauls like in March and stuff like that. And
that was in March 2019.
And that's so when we started, like, you know, building that base for the followers. And then the IG started moving, and we started getting more and more followers and stuff like that.
Because he said that, like, you guys would send him packages and stuff, and he'd open them and be like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. This one's okay. So why, because I've never really gotten like a straight answer from him, why didn't he just like block you guys and be like, I'm done like wasting my time on you guys? Like, it's like he still had hope, but he just didn't give you the time of day, but low key he was like waiting.
Yeah,
you know?
It's also just keeping that door open. You don't want to just block him, and because he, like, Germ hit him with like a fucking 20K salary.
True,
you know?
True.
Exactly. So I think he also like liked the clothes enough to not close the door. But then there was a lot of pieces he didn't like. But then he was like, yo, this is one of the items was actually pretty sick. I remember we had these like thermal shirts, and he was like, yo, actually, these are pretty sick. And that's when it kind of like, I saw his like mind like kind of changing, and I was like, all right, then we can, you know. And then finally, even like the first few months, like, there was a lot of products that he didn't fuck with. But then eventually we were like, all right, like, you know, we started like involving him on some things too. And then, you know, it started growing. Like, we started like catering to what he wanted to wear, because I think it would be easier for him to sell.
Right.
You know, not just like he was involved in like the design, not literally in the design process, like, all right, what can we make that you will like to make, you know, you would like to wear on a daily basis? Because I like even her first few months, like he would be wearing other brands. I was like, I don't want that. Like, I want him to only wear Young LA. And then I was like, okay, what do you want? And he wanted, like, you know, that's when like the Perfect Tee idea came around. Like,
yeah. So what was that in, like, was that like early 2019? When did the Perfect Tee? Because people don't realize this is like a fucking legendary item.
Yeah. So
also, this is only 3 years ago. Like, let's just put that in perspective. This is only three years ago.
But exactly. And what's even crazier is like the real growth has been in like the past 1 year. So it's like that exponential curve where like it started to pick up and then just like boom, everyone got signed and it just like went to the moon.
So I actually did. So we in August of, which was last month, right? Yeah, August of this year, we did more sales than 2019 and 2020 put together in 1 month.
In August?
In August of last
month. Wait, so so 2 years, you did more sales in 1 month in 2022 than you did in 2 years combined?
Yeah, and that also being not like months long time ago, like 2019 and 2020.
Wait, like even Black Friday and shit last year?
Not last year.
Or 2020. 2020
Black Friday was pretty big, dude. You were
I was there.
So 2019 plus 2020. Wild, bro. Altogether, we did more sales last month, which is fucking insane. Like the growth has just been, like the support, like thank you to everybody. Like it's just been crazy. And like, you know, I'm so grateful and blessed to be here. But yeah,
wait, so Perfect Tee. What, this was Giordani's idea entirely or what?
No, it was more, it was like Robbie's idea. Like, yo, like, why is he wearing like these other shirts that like, you know, we don't like, why don't we have shirts like that? Cause he would wear just like plain black shirts and stuff. Like it was like, okay, like let's make something that caters
that he'll
to
wear
him.
Instead
and
of
then, Perfect
and
Tee. Yeah.
We made it and then we would send it to him and then we had some feedback. Like, let's make this shorter. Let's make this tighter. And then we like, all right, what color should we make? So that was like the legendary Perfect Tee was dropped. We actually did the LA Fit Expo in 2019, and that's when the first time we sold the Perfect Tee, and it was actually sold at the expo first, and then we launched it on our website because like the stock was there. It was like, yo, we can sell this, and it was like popping off at the expo. It was just a basic blank shirt. All it has is the hem tag on the bottom,
right?
Nothing on the back. It was just a plain tee, but it just fits so well.
So you just had Giordani up there, mannequin, like just standing like this with his arms to his side. You know how he does it?
Yeah,
like,
I did with the tricep lock. Wait, so how many samples would you say you sent to him before he was like, yeah, this is perfect. Like, you should produce this in bulk.
So I think I personally went through like 7-8 different prototypes of the Perfect Tee. And then finally, when it was perfected by my approval, then I sent it to him. And then I think there was like a couple back and forth. Cause I was like,
so a total of like 10, maybe.
Yeah. So I was
damn, bro.
Like the shoulder was like a big thing. Cause like, we didn't want it to like pull up, but it had to be perfect.
That like scrunch that a lot of t-shirts get that scrunch up at the shoulders.
Because if you have the arms tight, the arms pull up, right? Mm-hmm. But then it makes that scrunch. But I was like, it had to be perfect. And then the length was a big one because Giordani liked everything so long back because he has a big ass chest and it makes things shorter.
It makes it pulls it out.
So the length was a big thing, and like that was like the reason why a lot of our stuff was like really long in the beginning.
And scallop too.
Yeah.
And I told you, I was like, bro, you gotta like scallop. Yeah. No more scallop, dog. Like just straight bottom.
Yeah, I've told you the same thing about the cutoff tees. Some of the cutoff tees would be like super down low, and you were like, I agree with you, but the customers want like longer shit.
So a lot of it was like
size down everything.
Giordani would make them look good. Like even if it was like really long, he would make them look good on his videos and stuff. And I was like, at a time, like, cause he was Young LA, you know, it was like, he was the only athlete at that time. And he was bringing in like, it was him. And the next athlete down was like, you know,
1/10
huge difference.
Yeah.
And so I was like really catering to like what would look good on him. And like, it was working at that time. I was like, all right, we're seeing good feedback. But now we're like, okay, like we're catering to so many people and like, you know, the lens are definitely a way better and we're not making stuff too long and stuff.
He's
like
the least realistic model ever. Dude, he looks better than 99.9%.
I was so confused because he's not super tall. Like Sush is like what?
Yeah,
like,
I'm 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah. And like, but stuff's like, even like if we fuck up on a project and it's super long, I'll send it to him. He's like, this is the best shit you ever made. Because his chest has so much like square feet, like it just goes over it and it would look perfect. He was like, sometimes like people would be like, oh, this is the perfect length, or this is like a little long. And he'll be like, oh, this is too short. Like, I'm like, bro, like, it's your chest. And now
he's got
finally
that rib cage, bro.
He's finally realizing like, okay, like, yeah, we got to cater. Like if it's short on me, it's perfect on other people. So yeah, we're finally getting that.
That's super interesting. Yeah. And then he did the, he helped out with like the wide neck thing.
He was
the wide neck, and it's that was recent. That even said probably a year ago.
Yeah, that was like a year ago. So like,
and it
that
says
was,
the Giordani on the side.
Yeah, he would send because he would make like wide neck his shirts. He was like, bro, I'm getting a thousand DMs. Like he always talks.
Yeah, right? No, that's like, what he fucking does. Right? Yeah. Bro, I swear, like a million people have been DMing about these glasses. Like, let me know.
And then he'll send you all the screenshots. And I was like, bro, like I get it. And
I believe you, bro. You don't have to send the screenshots, dog.
But that's what Giordani is. He's just so passionate about it.
Yeah,
man. So that's what
it's
we love
good
for.
Though. That's like a good person to have on your team if you're like building a brand like that.
Yeah,
because like, dude, he's gonna say no until he's really fucking serious about saying yes, and then once he says yes, he's like super passionate about it.
Dude, he is the reason why fitness influencers do try on hauls. Like, facts. Like that's he changed that trend. Like you guys do it now, but he made that the standard for a young LA athlete. Like you have to do a try on because before that, people for other brands they'll just take a selfie, right? And nobody would actually just like explain what nobody would explain the product. And then he started like, you know, he put his phone down. Talk about this, and go so deep into it where his stories were just dots.
Oh,
but
then
nobody was able to copy that, but they were like, okay, I need to do that if I need to be part of Young LA, because if this guy's doing it and he's killing, people are like seeing like, oh shit, this guy's making money.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, if I do the same thing, and then people were trying to copy. It was so funny. Like he would always send me like, oh, look at this guy. He's trying to like do
Bro,
the
did
same
he ever
thing.
Send me? Did he ever send me? Cause you told me you were like,
yeah,
he did. You were like, watch this guy's story. Yeah. And then you were like, watch him and then like kind of do what he does. And I was like, okay, like, fuck it.
You actually had your own twist to it. There was a lot of people who were just trying to like model the same way, like walk the same way. But they were like, they were not natural in front of the, in front of their stories. But like you had your own, like you would do your little dances when you first signed. And it was like, it was actually funny and good to watch. And you obviously didn't go so deep into it, which worked for you.
To keep them short.
Which worked for you and for your audience. But a lot of people like, you weren't a problem because you had your own like twist to it, but you probably wouldn't have done try on hauls if it wasn't for Giordani.
Oh no, because you told me you were like watch his shit and like pretty much do what he does, and I'm like okay, and that's what I did.
So I think so through Giordani, because like him and John were really good friends, right? So that's where John
came. Used to do them.
John used to do them too, but that's where John came from, and we were, you know, he became part of the team, and I was very hesitant because John had like, you know, interesting history before then. I was like, because he worked with a brand that he. Like, I think there was an issue, and then, like,
Jed North,
and it was something.
Hey, fuck Jed North, bitch.
Tell us backwards.
Dude, there was a point where they were our biggest competitor, and I was like, oh, I want to be like Jed North, like, you know, like, but there, like, he was with that brand, and they had, like, a fallout, and, like, it was bad, and I think it hurt Jed North, and I was like, dude, what if something, like, happens to Young LA? Like, we were so young, and, like, we couldn't afford anything like that, but I was like, fuck it, like, you know, I'm going to sign John and like take that risk. But it was like me and Robbie talked about it back and forth for a long time, like should we go this route and like get John. But I'm so glad we did, because you know he helped that brand grow, and then through John came Soosh, because Soosh liked John, and like he was like, John was your idol, like
yeah, bro, because he was tall as fuck, Asian, and I was like, bro, like I want to look like this dude.
Exactly. So John was the guy, and like he was like edgy, and like, you know, I love John, like still like one of the nicest dudes I've met. Like, you know, he's very different, but he's very nice. He's genuine. He's like, you know, he has a really good heart. So shout out John. But, and yeah, so I'm so glad we signed John, because it kind of opened the doors to Soosh, which was like a big turning point for the brand because of, you know, it opened the doors to all the TikTok kids, you know, and like,
and just like that 16 to like 19 year old demographic of kids who want like they lift, but they want to have style too.
Yeah.
And then Soosh is like, here I am.
Yeah. Bro. Cause I feel like when I was in high school, like I would try to like dress up and like, or not dress up, but like try to get fits together. But like no one could really like look good in high school. I feel like only like a couple of kids were dripped out, like wearing dope shit.
Yeah.
So I was like,
high school fashion is also so weird though. Like, you know, it's just like either really baggy or really tight stuff. Yeah, like, exactly. It was all over the place.
Because like people were in like Nike highlighter shirt and shorts. Like that's what, like, bro, my mom would like, she would be like, okay, here's your fit. Like middle school, probably. She would like make my clothes. Maybe not middle school. I don't know. Yeah. But she used to make me fits.
Senior year.
Yeah. And then she would make me fits, and I'd be like, okay, so this is how I'm supposed to dress. So like middle school, I was wearing like blue shirt, blue shorts. Cause I was like, it's matching. But now like,
yeah,
well, fucking Joe matches and shit, but Joe pulls it off and shit. But, I just think it's funny because now like, a lot, it's almost just like a butterfly effect of how much people are dressing now just in like high school and middle school and like a lot of these younger guys.
Definitely. I mean, I think it's because Instagram, right? Like, people see all these people dressing up and they're like getting fit ideas, and like, you know, people want to spend money. Like, especially like guys didn't really care how they looked back in the day, but now they're really like, yo, I want to look good, you know? Like, I want to, you know, like, they focus on getting
shit.
Yeah, like, it's like, I gotta look good, you know, make wear good clothes. And a lot of that is just like looking at all these influencers, are like, oh, what are they wearing? And that's why. And it's funny, when Giordani was like our main person, we were like, XL size would sell so much because he was XL, and he would like, you know, a lot of his audience were like these big dudes or older guys. And then when Sush came on board, we started selling smalls and mediums like crazy because there's all these younger kids.
That's funny.
And we had to like completely shift because like we were, you know, we order, our orders are placed like 7-8 months in advance, right? So like if a product that's launching today, it was, you know, the order or like it was completed, the order was placed 7-8 months ago. So like it was based on the numbers back then. So when Sush came aboard, like we were selling out of smalls and mediums because the orders were older orders and we weren't ready for the ratio of the sizes to change.
So you had a bunch of large XL in size, but you didn't in stock, but you didn't have smalls and mediums.
Because they would just sell out so fast because he was selling. So like that took a while to fix. And then, you know, and it still changes all the time. Like we'll get.
Even now people are like, bro, why is shit like, dude, some guy was so mad. Like he was DMing me. He was like, I could just hear, like, I couldn't hear it because it was a text, but I could just see the emotion. He was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, you guys don't make enough clothes. Like, what the, like, you could make so much money. What the fuck? I told him, bro, these orders are placed like 8 to a year, like earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, we have no idea. Like, because
we obviously forecast for the growth.
Yeah.
And like,
I feel like now you guys have a better like grasp on it. But exactly. Like, three months ago.
And like, selling out is cool too. You know, I love
it. Yeah, true. Especially like hype items, like dope items, like, like an everyday tee is like not going to sell out, but like your exclusive items, it's dope when it sells out because then it keeps it like exclusive.
But like even like the Immortal joggers or like the Block Party shorts, like it wasn't like we made like 2000 pieces. Like the Immortal, the first time the restock, the first like launch stock was like 15,000 units, you know, and it sold out like
it sold out in like 5 minutes. No.
Yeah. Like both the Block Party and Immortals were just insane. And like every restock for Immortals is, they're huge restocks. It's not like we're making like a few units. Like, why would I want to do that? You know, I want to keep it in stock.
Right.
I do want to sell out, but I don't want to sell out in 5 minutes. I think that hurts the brand. Like I want enough people to get it, but sometimes like you don't really, the hype is there insane for some products. And like, sometimes I'll think a product's going to go off and we'll order a lot and it doesn't go off, you know? Yeah. So you have to keep it balanced. Cause like, you know, business decisions, like you don't want to screw up on that. So I think that's very important.
I was just gonna say, I think a good example is like the birds and the hummingbirds. Cause at first when y'all dropped the, like the, I don't know what piece it was, maybe like
crazy, bro.
The shirt with like the bird and like, everyone was like, bro, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Then y'all started spamming them because when you guys made the orders, they were so long ago. So you were in this, you were in your like bird stage.
You were talking about the birds.
Yeah. You were in your bird stage, you were in your bird and flower art. Yeah. And so you're like, all right, let's spam these. Cause these are lit. And then, you know, time goes on and people are like, whoa, like too much. Yeah. And so that's why I got just some backlash.
The burst of,
but like, it still goes off,
it
though.
It still goes off, like, numbers-wise, like, it's always sold out, like, the flowers. Because, like, to me, like all these other brands do, like, really hard, like, you know, stuff like Wolves or, like, Gorillas and stuff like that. And, like, I didn't want to just be another fitness brand that was just doing aggressive, like, animals and stuff. And I was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool to, like, do a completely different take on that and, like, do, like, flowers and, like, you know. And it was, like, our
peaceful
summer.
Peaceful shit.
Like, summer, like, lines were, like, flowers and birds. And, like, to me, that was, like, dude, this looks dope. Plus, it's not your typical, like, you know, it's like, it's hard, but it's not hard, you know, it's like the opposite. And I was like, and initially, like, people were like on it. And then we started getting some like negative feedback on that. And we obviously changed based on that. But shout out the bird hat.
Hey, look, we got Zen hats.
Yep. Coming soon.
When is it? 13th?
Next drop. Yeah, 13th.
13th.
Nah, those are hard.
Zen hat.
The first time we posted those, like, people went crazy.
Bro, I posted it, like, 4 months ago when I had the first sample. And then people were like, bro, when's the show? I had, like, 100 shares.
I
like,
still think that hat's going to completely go off.
No, yeah, this is dope. Like, it has good review. But then the people who are, like, anal about birds and shit, they're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know?
But I still think, like, not everything is for everybody. And it's okay, you know? Like,
yes.
Like,
if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Exactly. And, like, you know, we take people's feedback. Like, I read every freaking comment. Like, I take people's feedback in a positive way. I'm never going to be like, yo, screw your opinion. Like, I'm not like that. But at the same time, like, not everything is for everyone. Like, you know, some people love the bird shit. Some people don't. And it's, like, it's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, certain fits. Or, like, people are like, oh, this is too tight. Or they're like, who cares for oversized stuff? Like, but, you know, the... I don't want to just cater Young LA to a few type of people. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, it's the brand for the people. Like, there's, you know, there's so many different people, types of people out there, different people like different things. And like, if you don't like it, it's totally fine, you know, but I'm sure you'll, there's a ton of stuff in Young LA that you will like. And that's yeah. how, mm-hmm. that's the brand I want to be. I don't want to be just for one certain niche. Like, I want to be a brand for everybody. And that's the goal we want to, like, it's not, it shouldn't just be only a brand for the fitness people too. I remember we posted this, video with the swim shorts with, it was a couple.
Yeah.
And to me, that was like one of the best yeah. like reels we made. Good. And everybody was just shitting on the guy because he wasn't a fitness model. He was just like this tall dude. Like, he was fit, but he wasn't jacked. And people were like, yo, like, anybody could be a Young LA model these days or this and that. And I was like, bro, like, it's okay to have different people on our page, right? We don't, yeah. it doesn't have to be only people that look like James. Like, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I think it's a lot of people that are like, you know, fans of me or Sush or like other people that lift a lot. So then they get attracted to Young LA mm-hmm. and then they see someone like that and they don't realize that like this brand is way bigger than just us or like other big, like physically large athletes.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, I thought this was a fitness brand. It's like, why'd you think that? Yeah. Just because we happen to model for it. Like, there's plenty of other people yeah, that model for exactly. it too, you know?
And like, something I saw actually in my own warehouse, like all our employees like love wearing Young LA, bro. Every Thursday we sell to employees and they get a fat discount. And bro, every Thursday, like there's a long list of people. Like they text it to like a group of like what they want. Bro, it's insane. We'll sell like $10,000 worth of shit, like almost like every Thursday. Like, it's insane. Like, people just buy so much stuff. And like, dude, 99% of these people don't work out on a normal basis. Like, some of them are big, some of them are small, like, you know, like different body types, but they love the clothes and they love wearing it. So I was like, we shouldn't have to be a brand only for fit people, you know, like, yeah. or like good body types obviously is important and stuff like that, but it doesn't have to cater to only fitness dude exactly. or like bodybuilders, you know. It should be
just as long as you don't yeah. go the Gymshark route. That's all, you know,
we won't, but we but actually like did take fitness out of our bio.
Yeah, we were drunk as fuck on the boat, and I was like, bro, it's time to take that shit out.
Yeah, because, like, I don't want to just be a certain niche. Like, we're like, a lifestyle brand, and, like you know, I want to be one day, be a brand that everyone knows, you know, like Kith. That's somewhere, like, I want to be one day, and, like, I think that's a brand that I want to, like, get to one day, because it's not, you know, anybody can wear it and still look cool, and, like, you know, they do all these dope collabs.
And then there's also stuff for fit people.
Exactly.
Like, and even my dad is 74. And he does mainly like cardio just to stay healthy. And he's like, hey, do you think I could get some of the, you know, what was it called? Like the fitness shirts, the one that I'm wearing, just like the performance like, line. Yeah, yeah. Do you think I could get some of the performance stuff from Young LA? I'm like, yeah, bro, I got you. Yeah. And they sent him this huge fucking package. Yeah, he's like, I didn't want all this. Like, yeah. Thank you.
That's one thing that I will say. Well, I've never worked with another company, so I don't know. But like, you guys treat the athletes and, like, even family. Like, I'll hit you guys up almost every other day for a gift card. Like, $100, $200 gift card just for, like, somebody that mm-hmm. asked me. He was like, yo, like, can I get a gift card? And I'm like, yeah, bro, I got you. So I will say that you guys have always been very, like,
every other day?
Yeah. Like, well, very often. Like, he's in the group chat, so, like, he sees it. Like, it's pretty often, bro.
Yeah.
I be handing that shit out.
Like, I feel like that goes such a long way. Like, being stingy on those, like, things is not going to make the brand grow, yeah. right? But, like, yeah. like, we really focus on taking care of our people, like not just athletes, but like employees or like manufacturers. Like, if you take care of people, like that goes such a long way. Like, people genuinely will like the brand, and you know, you will see it. If you're promoting a brand that you don't really fuck with, like people can tell, you know, like even if you're like really good at selling, but you don't really, even if you love the product, but you don't really love the people behind the brand, mm-hmm. you'll see that, you know. And like, Sush obviously has like we have such a great relationship. Like, all my main guys, I have such a good relationship with. Like, we're more than just, you know, business people. Like, yeah. we're homies, you know. And like, I think that goes such a long way. Like, because the audience will see that. And like, you know, doing this pod together, or like me coming to San Diego that one time, mm-hmm. and like that, I think like that's what makes Young LA what it is, you know. And people see that it's like the family behind it and the genuineness behind it is very, very important.
Yeah, because once you become like super corporate, where the head honcho is disconnected mm-hmm. between like five layers of executives between the actual athletes, it becomes much easier for the athletes to start hating on the brand because they're like, I don't even know who fucking runs this shit. Why should I even like it?
Yeah.
But it's like when you actually put in the effort to make good connections with each one of your top athletes and you actually like show them love, it's like how are you going to hate on the brand if, like, the actual fucking owner is, like, showing you love, you know? Exactly. And it's, but it's much different because a lot of these brands will be like, well, I'm too big now. I've got to, like, hire out all these people, these, like, CFOs and CMOs and CPOs or whatever the fuck, that, like, they hire more people who deal with all, like, athletes and stuff. So it becomes, like, very, you as an athlete become very disconnected from the brand itself because you feel like you're just a pawn, you know? But with Young
LA, how you felt with Gymshark?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, it's a little different with Gymshark, but I have to give credit to Dave because I think Dave is the only reason that it was different for me because I was only close to Ben, the owner, because I was friends with Dave. So I was his plus one for like a lot of trips before I ever got signed. So it was like a little different because I actually had long conversations with Ben and he was a really nice guy. But then like once I wasn't really hanging out with Dave as much, then it's just like I'm answering to some guy who's answering to some guy who's answering to some guy who's answering to Ben. So then it's like, I don't really talk to Ben anymore. And I, you know, I become more just like controlled. So then I was like,
it is possible to be that big corporation, but keep that family like mentality. I think like, you know,
it's a lot of work. It's really hard.
It's hard, but you can keep it there. But like, you know, you still have to be connected with your athletes. I think that's very important. Like I have like, as we've grown, like, so pretty much everything in Young LA that different people do, like I was doing that at one point, right? Like I was the one printing labels at one point. I was the one making the listings, but we have different people doing all these different things now. Cause like, I'm kind of just like overall just overseeing everything. Plus
putting
out fires and everything. And then I'm still very involved on the product side and the athlete side. But even as we get bigger and bigger, like, yeah, I'm not talking to like every single athlete, but you know, but like my main guys, if I'm like disconnected with them, if I'm not getting their feedback, I think that's where the brand's going to go to shit, you know? Cause it's like, yeah, like the clothes are important. Like if I like them, that's very important. Like to me, that's the start. But if you guys don't like the clothes or like if I don't hear your feedback, then I think that's when you start becoming too corporate and you kind of start going to shit. Cause like,
yeah,
we can still be cool and still hit like Gymshark numbers, right? And still be that level, but still be that like family oriented brand that's, you know, and that it's still like edgy and cool and doing different things. And so I think that balance that's what's really important. And that's been like my focus for like the last year. Like, yeah, we're huge now. Right. But I want to make sure we still stay true to our core values and stuff. So.
Yeah. I think that's what's different is like with you guys is that it's run like a company that makes $1 million a year, but it's actually a company that makes, I won't say numbers if you don't want to get into it, but way fucking more than $1 million a year. So it's like, it still feels like almost like a homegrown business where it's like, you know, everyone. And like, you know, there's a lot of people that are very high up in the company that I'm close with or that I at least know on some level. Mm-hmm. But with Gymshark, it's just like, there was just such this cloud of like, I don't know what the fuck is really like, who am I talking to here? Or I would like, kind of tentatively be like, I don't know if I like this piece. Yeah. And they'd be like, oh, I'll talk to corporate about it. Yeah. And it's like, no, you won't.
Like, but with whenever you guys don't like anything,
I can just, I've gone straight to you about so many things where I'm like, this is trash, you know?
And I totally like, I appreciate that feedback so much. And like, you know, we fix that every time, you know, if something is too long or like whatever, I think going back to that, staying true to our core values is very important. And definitely like being an entrepreneur, like the biggest things is like that. Plus like, just taking care of your people, you know, I think that's what's going to go a long way. And just being genuinely like helpful to people, like your employees, your athletes, like being there for them. I think like that's like the biggest entrepreneurship like quality you need to have because it's the hardest thing in a business is the people. Like, you know, everyone says that, right? Like,
so my dad said he hit a restaurant and that's everything. Finding people.
Exactly.
Like finding people that are as passionate, like that you, because it's hard to find somebody as passionate. Cause you never will.
Exactly.
You never will. Yeah. But like find somebody who it like almost or like is trying to be.
Yeah. Like, there's like people in the company that like, bro, I'd die for those people, you know, like I'm not even talking about athletes, like people behind the scenes. And you know, I always wanted to be the guy behind the scenes too. And it's like now like more people are getting to know me and stuff. And like, I'm finally doing this pod, like, but like being like the people behind the scenes, like there's so many, like, there's like a good, like 10, 15 people that are like, they're so important to everything we do. I see these people every day, but like, the love I have for a lot of these people is like, it's insane. Cause like, you know, we wouldn't be there without them and, you know, we take care of them. And so it's like, it's a two way street, you know, you go hard for them and they'll genuinely put in their best effort towards the brand. But if it's just like a 9-to-5, like if it's just a paycheck to them, then you'll actually see that in their performance. But if they're like, hey, I fuck with Gary, I fuck with Robbie, that's where they'll actually put their full effort, and they'll treat it like it's their own company as well, you know? And that's when the stuff, because I can only do so much, right? Like I can't do like the Instagram posting or like planning the photo shoots and the products
right,
inventory. So it's like, you find the right people and you stick with them and you know, you go to bat for those people, they'll love you. And that's how the brand grows. So, yeah.
That's almost how I feel. Cause you like, even though I'm not, tied into you guys at all, but like, that's cause you know, I've been with 2.5 years now. So I feel like now I'm like actually passionate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like,
exactly.
It would suck if something would have happened.
Yeah. Like, I love that. Like, you know, like, you guys treat Young LA as your own, and that it shows, you know, like when you're super passionate about it, or like, you know, like you, if somebody talks shit on Young LA, like you'd be like, yo,
yeah, fuck, nah,
like,
yeah.
Like, nah, I'm not down with it. Like, this is it. Like, you know, and like at the end of the day, like there's so many brands out there. There might be a brand that'll offer you more money, but like, you know, like that wouldn't like, you know, you would at least talk to me about it, you know, like in other cases, like, yo, I'm out. Like, you know, if you don't really have that connection, but.
Right.
I think that's very important.
Yeah. I gotta shout out the homie Soosh, because I've noticed like he always put in more effort than I think like every athlete besides maybe Giordani.
Giordani is definitely number one.
But with it, like the past probably 6 months, it's just like you don't even ask him and he'll go out to like Galveston, which is like 1.5 hours away, and do a whole photo shoot and like reel and stuff without you asking him, because he's personally invested in it now, you know? And he's like kind of come to this realization that like, this is my company in a way, not in the sense that he's like taking it from you, but like, this is my baby too. So like, I want it to fucking succeed. So I got to give a shout out to Soosh, because he puts in a lot of fucking effort.
What was the change?
Into it.
I guess I've never asked you.
I don't know. It was just like, I started.
I always call it the Soosh Awakening.
Yeah, it was. It just
mushrooms.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, mushrooms. Honestly, like I did a little trip, and then I was like, bro, I could be doing so much. And then I was like, I wanted to find what my actual, like, driving force was, and it was just, I don't know. Like, I'm very.
I remember you told me, you're like, dude, I actually have a great time like doing these reels.
Yeah, like it's just I enjoy doing them. Yeah. Like they're just fun. Like putting my brain together with Joe, and like we're arguing and shit. Like we're like, no, this is the shot. And he's like, no, like trust me, I got the vision. I'm like, bro, just get this one shot just in case. Like and so we're just arguing back and forth, and it just, that's the stuff that it's just fun. Like I love doing it.
Dude, every time I like Joe sends a reel, like I'm like, okay, like I like stop doing everything, and like Robbie comes,
put your headphones
like,
in,
you know,
and shit,
like, yo, we gotta watch this, and like every time I'm just like blown away, like with the quality and like the effort that you guys put in, like, and the best part for me is like I'm not asking you guys to do a lot of these things now, and it's just like kind of getting done, and I'm like, it takes so much stress off me, because like the content is obviously the biggest thing, right? And like I don't even care if like it's selling the product, but like just having cool content on her page, like that's so important for me, you know.
And
like,
the Instagram is where you're doing all the marketing too.
Exactly.
So it's like
just
that's like where you want to put the
cool
most
reel that nobody even looks at the product, but like people are like, yo, this is sick. Yeah. Like that to me is like, I love that.
It was the 2K reel, wasn't it?
Yeah. The jerseys.
That was dope.
Like jerseys didn't even eat, but like the reel fucking ate, because it was dope, bro. Yeah. Like
the vision behind that reel was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The Block Party Restock reel.
The Block Party Restock, which was the first.
That was the start of like, yo, we're going to do some
like,
serious shit.
Because that, I think now it has almost 700K or like 600K.
Wait, was that?
That was
I was
play.
In that after party.
Yeah.
Okay, so
No, you were in that one. Black Party Restock.
Oh,
the
that
one
was
at
the
Clay.
Block Party Restock.
Yeah, you were there. You were like.
Oh, that's right. That's
you
right.
Were on prep,
and
though.
I was in the after party.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was on prep. So that whole time period is foggy in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The Block Party Restock.
I didn't want to be there, but I was like, I'm going to fucking just do this. I'm going to make it happen. I was so
And you got a dope insane, little reel out of it, too. Like, you did the little,
posing and shit.
So
that one ended up hitting Explore, like, a month later.
Yeah. Just because it's outside, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
But shit like that, it has 700K, and obviously, no one, like, people watching, they have no idea what Young LA is, but they're just watching because it's like, holy shit, this is
sick.
So sick. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're probably not even looking at the shorts. They're not even reading the caption. They're just watching and then scrolling by, which is, that's dope.
It's exactly like to me, I also want to do different things that different brands are not doing, and like, bro, nobody has a reel like that. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's just different. It's like good content. Like, I love that.
I do see like the effect that it has had on like other companies and shit.
They're
and
like,
I think
fuck,
it's,
we gotta do
yeah,
something.
And like, I think it's dope. Like Joe will send me videos and he's like, bro, look at this. And I'm like, yeah, like it's not like ours, but it's close. Yeah. But it's I think it's dope. Not like ours, but it's close. And
I love how they're fun though too, and they're not just like, because like a lot of the brands, like the modeling reels are like sick, but these reels like have a storyline. Mm. They're actually fun. The last one for the Immortals, that one, like, it was like very serious but like slow, but like it was dope. It like, it gave me chills, and I was like,
I called you after that shoot though, and I was like, bro, that fucking sucked.
Yeah,
like it was just so hot, muggy, the bugs, like I had to,
and I was like, damn, we missed this one. Yeah, but when I saw that reel, I was like, yo, this is like
my favorite. Yeah, because you were upset, and I was like, bro, no, like we got the reel, but like I just want to let you know it fucking sucked. Like it was not fun.
Yeah, and then with the Block Party restock, there was like, it was like kind of serious, but then there was that clip of like me on Sushi's shoulders with the sign.
Yeah,
like
we got dancing that around. That, so it was,
like, I almost died, bro.
And like, bro, I swear to God, like all of these reels, and I'm telling you guys this too, all of these reels, there's no, like we joke around like, oh, we're having a meeting and stuff, but really we're just getting drunk and like fucking around. But in like, all reality, there is no, we have a set and then we have the clothes. And then we go there and we just see like, okay, what do we got? Like, what are we working with?
Bro, they look like there's a big production behind
them. Yeah. Like the 2K one was literally, we're like, okay, let's go shoot like hoops over there. And then I was like, and then we were just like looking around, and he didn't play 2K, but I was like, bro, you ever played 2K? And like, let's fly the drone. Like, it's fucking 2K. And like, it was just random. Like, we had no idea that we were going to do that. And that's probably one of my favorites too.
Yeah. When you, I feel like when your juices are flowing about these things.
Yeah, Adderall, you're fucking going, dude. Like, like you opened up like so much. Yeah. And then once you start going.
You can
going,
do it without Adderall too, guys.
No, you can do it without Adderall.
Nah, you can't.
It just aids me. But when you start get into it, it's like, holy shit, there's so, like, you just, and you don't want to stop almost. And half the time we're chasing daylight.
Yeah, it's just like, you're once you're like in it, you know, and you're like thinking about these ideas, or you were showering, or like at night, like, dude, some of the best ideas I've had for Young LA, like, literally either like I'm half asleep and something comes to my mind, or like a lot of the ones in shower, I'm just like, dude, why don't we do this? Or like
the shower thoughts, bro.
Shower thoughts are insane, bro.
I think the keychain one that I texted you about, because I told him to do an AirTag on keychain. I was in the shower, and I didn't want to lose the idea, because sometimes I'll think of shit, and I'm like, and I'll get out of the shower, I'm like, wait, what the fuck was I thinking about?
Yeah.
So I literally got out of the shower, bro, dried my hands, and I texted you, because I was like, bro, keychain with the way AirTag. Like shit like that. That happens to me all the time in the shower.
I remember our Black Friday this last year, we were getting kind of late on our orders. Nothing like crazy, but because we had so many fucking orders, right? And it was just going ham. And shout out Mallow, she's right here.
Boy, he doesn't have balls, but like he's a he slash she.
But
I want Milo, that camera's gonna fall, bro. I was saying I'm gonna miss Milo, and you were like, you should get a dog. I'm like, I don't want a dog if it's not Milo. I want that boy.
He's so just Milo's dog.
So chill.
But what were you saying?
Black Friday last year, we were like kind of behind on our orders, and just like, we were going crazy just trying to get these orders out. And like, I remember I thought about doing something in our warehouse just to like perfect the flow of how the orders were getting picked. And it was literally in the shower, and I went into work the next day, or like that same day, and I was like, we're going to do this. And it like made so much things just flow better. And I was like, damn,
just
I like
shower ideas,
just shower ideas. Like, I've had so many of those. I'm like, these game changers, you know? So it's like those shower ideas
take longer showers. That's weird though, how it is. Also, when I'm high too, like when I smoke weed, I really just start overthinking, but then it also puts me into a
creative state.
Yeah, it puts me in a creative state.
I think it's because we're so, like, especially you and me being like influencers, we're so kind of hooked on our phones. Mm-hmm. And then you're also running a company, so you're also hooked on your phone. So you never really have time without it. Just think. And I think it was Andrew Huberman. I don't know. Derek's done some podcasts with him, but he says he's got like three requirements if you want to be like in a better mind state. And one of them is like, within the first 10 minutes of waking up, you have to view sunlight for at least like 10 minutes. So like, go take a walk or something, because it wakes you up, circadian rhythm. But his second thing on the list was 30 minutes of non-sleep rest time. So he'll go and like, off his phone, off everything, no distractions, not talking to anyone. He's just resting. Like, have you ever gone into your bed and you can't really sleep, but you just need to like chill for a second? He does that intentionally every day, where for like 30 minutes, he'll just go and kind of just rest and recuperate. And I think that's where like, you don't realize how much you're on your phone until you do that for 30 minutes. You're like, holy shit, like I feel so peaceful now. And I think showering for a lot of people is the only time during the day where they get that.
Fuck?
Yeah. So
now
they're like,
yeah, now it makes sense.
Yeah. So like you get that shower time where for 10, 15 minutes you can't have your phone in the shower because, you know, water. But if you intentionally do that, I think you'd get the same effect where if you just intentionally go in your bed and lay down, close your eyes and just don't sleep. Mm-hmm. Like I think those same shower thoughts would come to you, you know, but I want to ask you a money question.
Okay.
And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but what would you say your average amount of pieces is for an average drop? Not a huge one, not a small one, just like an average looking drop. Maybe you drop 5 things. What total amount of pieces combined?
Unit-wise? Volume?
Yeah, unit-wise.
I would say around 40,000 pieces.
40,000, and you do 2 to 3 drops a month.
2 to 3 drops a month, yeah.
Plus restocks too.
Yeah, restocks fucking.
But like out of any company that I've ever seen, y'all drop the most. Like
I don't think anybody's even close.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Because like, but when you think about like Nike, do they ever drop like, oh, like these shorts? I think they just always like they just have shit. Yeah.
Like, and there's like always new stuff on their website. But I think the whole drop culture we've created is like it's insane.
It reminds me of Supreme.
Yeah, but it's more often, I guess, right? Supreme is hot.
Supreme, they had seasons, so it's every Thursday for like 8 weeks or something.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And then they would like, that would be the spring, summer collection, and then there was a fall, winter collection.
Okay. So that would only be like 32 weeks out of the year, no? Because it's eight weeks straight for 4 seasons?
8 weeks straight. No. Spring and summer is one. So it was either 12 or like 8 weeks in a row. I don't know. You got to ask the hype beast, but I'm not sure. I think it was 8 or 12. So like, let's just say 24. 24 drops a year. Yeah. Versus y'all are doing. Gotcha.
Yeah, we're
probably like 36 drops a year.
Well, right? If you include the restocks, but no, like I think.
Which I would include the
restocks. No, I would say 36 like drops a year. And then maybe like.
It's usually 2 drops a month at this point. Okay. Sometimes 3, usually 2 drops a month. But then like November is usually that one big Black Friday drop. But Black Friday this year, we're dropping 33 different styles.
Ooh.
Yeah, shit's going to go crazy.
Yeah, because I remember it was July or August. You guys did 3 drops and 2 restocks or something like that and like a sale. I don't know. It was like a bunch of shit in 1 month and my commission 8, bro. Yeah.
Last month was insane too. Like, yeah, I think we had August. So much shit just happening. Like we had the girls drop and then it was just August was.
The sale, or no, that was this month. This month you guys did like the sale page.
We redid the sale page and that wasn't like a sale, but it was just like, I guess it kind of worked out.
I mean, it is a sale, bro. Like half that, it's like half off, more than half off.
It's more just like clearing our warehouse. It's not like a sale on everything, which we only do that once a year, you know, on Black Friday. And like, Black Friday.
We did it for $500K too.
Yep. That was 25. But yeah, it's either, I kind of like, we only do drops and never like, I don't want to do a Labor Day mm-hmm. sale or like a mm-hmm. July 4th sale. I think that's kind of lame, but like, we do have stuff on sale on our website all the time, and it's just that's just like, all right, we made too much or something, you know, trying to get rid of it.
Or they're
like
really old.
Really old items.
Like, I'm done making this shit.
Exactly. And we just want to, a lot of it's like warehouse space. Like, we want more warehouse space. Right. You know, especially something is bulky and it's not moving. I'm like, yo, let's get the shit out of here.
That's a good problem to have. I'm running out of warehouse space. Dude. Wait, so would you say that, how many pieces would you say on average per restock? How many total units?
Restocks, it just depends. Sometimes these restocks are fat. Like I think the restock that was a couple of days ago. That was a big one. It was like almost like 10 different styles. That one's usually around like 50,000-60,000 units. Mm. But those usually we try to keep those, you know, it's not like the first day they're out. They usually just sell throughout. And then, but the it wasn't like last year, the units were like way lower, but now we're doing like around at least like 8,000 to 10,000 per style that we drop. And then if it's like, you know, something that we really believe in, then we'll do more, or something we're not too sure of, then we'll do a little less, but so, around that.
So on a, cause I'm just so curious, bro. Cause I'm learning this shit too. Yeah, I haven't asked you about this before. So on a non drop day, so let's say it's been like 7 days since the last drop. So all that stuff's basically sold out or lost hype and there's no sale. And there's no restock. So a completely average Young LA day, how many total units would you say you sell?
So on our average Young LA day, we're doing like 1,200 orders, 1,200 to 1,300 orders on our normal younglay.com day.
Averaging like 2 items per order?
2 to 3, so like 2.5. So, yeah.
So like 30K units a day on just a completely 20, average 20, day.
20? 25, yeah. 20 to 25. Yeah, that's a lot of units. Like the sale, like the units were just insane because...
Do you ever just look at Shopify and just see, like, that's like an order every second, bro. Just like,
yeah, like I used to have it where it would like make a sound on my phone every time an order come in, but obviously I can't do that.
Yeah, you turn
like,
that shit right off.
It's on still, but it's on silent. Like, but I still I like.
No, I don't know how you, bro. Just to interrupt you, I sometimes like you're showing me something on your phone, and then there's notifications all like not even Shopify. It's just Shopify, other shit. Shopify. I'm like, dude, how do you like operate? Because for me, like when I see a noti, I'm like automatically like, okay, like what is that?
You need that 30 minutes non-sleep rest time, bro.
Every time I text him, I get a reply. Instantly, and it's insane. And bro, he's so good at it.
Because like, if I'm on my phone and I see the noti, like it bugs me that like I have a notification. Like it's maybe OCD or some shit.
I have 1,900 unopened text messages on my phone.
That's
right
crazy.
That's the only person I've seen with more than me, bro.
Yeah, it's insane. But a lot of those are just group texts that people just talking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm in them because I think it's like good that people think I'm in it. But like, I'm not reading through every single thing. Like,
yeah,
I have them all. Like, there's only a couple that I have like on silent. But like, for the most part, like, but I like to just. Just be involved in everything. Like, you know, like I'm in every single chat with all the athletes. Like I'm in, you know, like their official like WhatsApp chat. I'm in every single one of them. Manufacturers, I'm in every single chat, you know, or like a lot of the notifications to just the Instagram, like all those DMs, all those comments. The comments we turned off now recently, but the DMs is just like always new shit. But I also like sometimes like I don't want to miss something. So, you know, at least I see it. A lot of things I miss, which I'm pretty bad at texting back sometimes, but I, you know, I don't want to like somebody important like DMs us that we're trying to get. Like, I still want to be get the notification, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So last month you said it was like your, it was better than 2020 and 2019 combined. What was total sales? Come on, bro. Just one month.
Okay. Wait.
Total sales.
If you don't want to say that, what was the total? Wait.
Maybe he does want to say it. Maybe he does want to say it. Total sales last month.
Total order or total
August.
Total units sold. Total units.
Robbie,
sold.
Does he get the approval?
No? Okay, wait, does he get approval for total units sold? All right, total units sold.
I think we got 108. I think it was around 250,000 units sold last month.
So all right, so $30 per unit on average. You guys can do the math. Wait, what?
What's that per day? 250,000. There's like, let's say 30.
Yeah,
because
we did,
almost like 10,000 orders per 10,000 units per day, right?
108,000 orders last month.
Okay, so it's about 2.5 units on average per order.
Yeah. So,
holy shit. If it's 250,000, it's about, 8,000 units a day on average,
that's
right?
That's insane.
Yeah, it was a crazy month.
You know, this month I hit a milestone in total sales for you guys.
Shit, what was it?
5 million.
That is fucking crazy, bro.
5 million total sales with Young LA.
Holy fuck.
That is crazy.
That's wild.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It was literally just recently.
Why didn't you tell me about that, bro? That's crazy.
I don't know.
We actually hit a milestone last month. We got our millionth order, because Shopify has like the number of like, you know, as it starts at 1,000 and it keeps going up, and like my customer service team's like, yo, bro, like this person got like the 1 millionth order, and I was like, holy shit! I think we posted about it too.
Wait,
and
I found a plot hole.
What?
So last month, if you average 8,000 units a day, but you said right, but about that, because you did 250,000 units for the month.
I don't really know the units, like, numbers off top of them. I, like, look at it more, like, in terms of, like, number of orders. But,
okay.
Yeah. But we did, 108. That's the number I remember. Like, that number's there legit.
But then you said on a non-drop, like, a completely average day, you said how many units you sell? 25,000?
2,500.
Oh, 2,500. Okay.
Yeah,
Makes sense.
We do, like, on a normal day, we'll do, like, a little over 1,000 orders, and then, you know, times 2.5, so, like, 2,500 units.
Right, I got you.
Every day, yeah. Did I say
so? So how many, just so far in 2022, what is the multiple in terms of the amount of sales you've made compared to 2021?
So every year before 2022, we were like 4 to 5x every year on our website, like just growing. This year, I don't think we're going to be able to get to the 4 or 5.
Yeah, it gets harder to be exponential at that point.
Exactly, because last year was massive. Like, you know, last year we blew up like crazy. And it was like crazy compared to the year before. But this year, I think we'll probably do like hopefully 3x of last year.
Still really
but
wild.
That's still really good. But like years before that, we were hitting like 5 pretty much like regularly.
Yeah, but it's easier to go from like, you know, $100,000
like a mil to a year. Mil, like,
exactly. Yeah. You can easily 5x 100,000, but it's much easier to 5x 10 million or something like that.
Exactly.
100 mil, you know, just random numbers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm very blessed to be where we are. And like every year, like the growth has like beat my expectations. Like I knew we'd be, you know, like a top brand, but at the end of the day, like to be where we are, like, you know, I'm very grateful. And like the support, like, you know, you guys, just like the different connections we've built, like there's been like big moments in Young LA where I'm like, yo, if that never happened, like we would not be here. You know, like Giordani coming on board was like, I spent so much time on him. What if I didn't, you know, like we probably wouldn't be here. Or like getting John, because like if we never got John, maybe Sush never came on board.
Right.
Right. True. So like different things. Like I always think about like, you know, like I owe so much to John just because like Sush came through him, you know, like, so like those little things, I'm like, what if that never happened? Like, where would we be? You know? So it's like, you know, like a lot of it's obviously like the hard work that me and Robbie put in, or like the employees, but a lot of it's also luck, you know, like just you having your cards right. Like I'd like, you know, owe a lot of that to God, I guess, you know, and just like making sure, you know, he's taken care of. And but I think thing I always think is like good things happen to good people, you know, like you, like karma, I'm like a big believer in that. Like you do good and good things will happen. So
and I think just, that's very important. Just makes sense too.
Yeah.
Like, like karma, even from like a logical perspective, just makes sense. Because if you're just, if every person you come in contact with, you give out like good energy and they have something positive to say about you, that's like a domino effect where then those people say something positive about you. And then those people say something positive about you versus if you're putting out like quote unquote negative energy, it's like everyone's going to kind of have a problem with you. And then like, it's just not going to end up well for you because nobody's going to have like a good view of you in the end. Exactly. You know?
I one thing I heard is like, you know, if like one person says you're a scumbag, like, That's okay, but if like 20 people are saying it, you know, you are a scumbag, and that's gonna trickle down, and eventually people will see that, you know, and like you can fake an image and stuff, but it goes a long way. Just being good to your people, good to people being around you and stuff. I think that's like the biggest thing, and you know, like good things will happen to good people.
So, I have one final question because I also want to put it in the title of this podcast. What's your like advice to somebody getting signed by Young LA? Like one piece of advice that you would give like some hungry motherfucker out there?
To me, honestly, the engagement, like having really good engagement on your page, if you have that, because like I do a lot of recruiting myself, right? Like I'm involved in like pretty much the most, like our top people that we've signed, like I've pretty much reached out or been a part of that. There's other few people in the company that have done that too, but for the majority, like it's me. But when I go on somebody's page, I don't even look at how many followers they have, or straight to, I need the comment section, you know?
Yeah.
And I go through the comment, like I'll go through it because like, oh shit, like 400 comments. All right, cool. Like, let me go through them. If it's all emojis, then I'm bouncing.
Yeah.
But
I was going to mention that too.
If it's legit people and like they're actually talking like legit, like feedback on your posts and stuff, like that's, to me, even if you have 8,000 to 10,000 followers, but you're getting like 200-300 comments and they're legit comments, you know, I'll bring you one.
Because I've noticed like people have caught on to that and now they're faking comments, but it seems legit where there's this kind of community of people.
Support system.
It's like, and there's like hundreds of people that are all part of this like quote unquote support system. And I go snooping sometimes just because like I'm curious. And I went on someone's post and I looked at his comments because I'm like, how does this have like 800 comments? That's fucking wild. And I just scrolled, like I just looked at the
top. I might know who you're talking about, but obviously we're not going to say.
All right, yeah. And there was one guy who left 3 comments on his post. And then the original poster responded to each one of those comments. And the guy who commented responded back. And at each one of those comments, there was like 40 comments on each one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so that's 120 comments between the original poster and one other dude.
And I bet if you go to his profile, it's the same thing.
And I did. I did exactly that. And it's the exact same shit. Yeah. It'll be like people will comment like 2 fire emojis. And then they'll re-comment and say like, you look great here, bro. And then they'll re-comment and say, when you come in a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the original poster will respond and be like, you're so handsome, bro. I want to kiss you. And then they'll respond back and be like, nah, you're the handsome one, bro. And then they'll respond back and be like, kissing emoji. And it just goes back and forth.
And companies will fall for it.
I know. So, like all the time.
But like with us too, like obviously we'll sign people that, you know, like we shouldn't have, you know, and I think that's fine. Like we'll give out like, you know, 3-month trial contracts here and there.
Yeah. See if someone can prove themselves.
Like if you have those 3 months, we're straight up very transparent from you, like from the start, like, hey, if you hit these kind of numbers, we'll keep you on the team, add a salary, give you a contract, but these are your you have 3 months to prove yourself, and if you don't, you're out. And
yeah,
and sometimes we'll get hate when they get kicked off. But it's like, bro, like, we told you, like, you gotta hit this many orders per month. And if you don't hit it, how's, like,
yeah, because there was,
you
know, a big
we
gave
you a chance, and most other companies might not even give you that chance. So,
and there was a big thing, like, it must have been over a year ago at this point. So this is like a long time ago, but there was like some heat against Young LA because it's like, oh, you dropped all these people. It's like, what actually happened is you signed all these trials at the same time, and half of them proved themselves and half of them didn't. And the ones that didn't, you'd made it clear, these are the parameters.
Exactly.
And if you don't meet the parameters, then like, you're off.
We give you straight instructions. Like, hey, there's these numbers or you're out. And then some people will also be like, I made the brand $10,000. Like, you know, like, but like, bro, like, you really, like, they'll say that I made the brand $10,000. But like, that's sales, bro. Like, if you made $10,000 in sales, like, you're not making the brand $10,000. Like, mm-hmm. I have so many other expenses on top of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's $10,000, you, like, what actually came into
all that $10,000 went straight to your pocket, bro.
That's what people think, yeah, dude, which yeah, is no, crazy. Like, you know, running a business is like, you could be paying you guys, employees, product cost is insane. Like, Shopify fees, this and that. Like, at the end of the day, if, like, if you made, like, $10,000, like, way less than $1,000 came to Young LA, you know? And then there's, like, pieces after that, too. So, yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't understand that, like, normal business thing. Like, you know, if 10,000 is like, oh, like, maybe 5,000 went to their pockets, like, does not work like that. You know,
right,
especially
right.
with a big company. Like, you have so many expenses, yeah. you know? Like, it's crazy. I'm sure you're, and you'll yeah. see that when, like, Boulevard yeah. starts going, like, you know, like.
Yeah. It's like, no, like, especially in the beginning, like, just what I've noticed is, like, you're not even getting, like, a little bit of profit. It's like, you're mainly in the red.
Exactly.
And you're just trying to stay afloat.
Yeah.
It's when like, you, I'm not actually think, making this.
When you think of, like, the big numbers, you're like, oh, like, I'm selling for $30. It's costing me, like, 10. Oh, mm-hmm. probably like 20 will come to my pocket, you know? But then when you actually do the selling, you're like, oh, there's $2 went here.
Yeah, yeah. $3 dollar went over here. $3 over here. Oh, and shipping costs. Oh, manufacturing costs. And exactly. then it dwindles down to like a dollar profit. And you're exactly. like, all right, awesome, bro. Yeah.
And we do free shipping across the board on our website. And like, obviously, we're taking that hit, right? Like, yeah, the customer's not paying for that, but we're taking that whole hit. So
even international?
International, we still take a hit on our side. Like, 25% because I want to build that base and mm-hmm. I still want to capture those customers, but obviously we're not going to take a huge, huge cut on that.
Right.
But we still take a hit just because I want to build those markets out. Cause next year we are looking for a European distribution.
Yeah.
So we'll have hopefully early Q1 of next year, we'll have European.
Let me run that.
European.
Let me run that over there.
You're about to unlock the other 95% of the world population.
That's fucking
yeah, sick. Once Europe starts going, I think that's going to be huge for us because we still get a good amount of, like, if you look at the chart on, like, drop days, like, yo, Europe is popping.
Yeah. And it'll be popping even more once people don't have to pay, like, double digits for shipping.
Yeah, just shipping and plus the customs are just insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuff ordering, if you order stuff from Europe to the U.S., you're not paying any customs unless you ordered more than $850. But it's not like that when it goes from here to Europe because, you know, the European government wants to get that money. And you end up paying, the customer has to take care of that cost and it just adds up being too much. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we're an hour 30. Yeah,
let's wrap it up. Yeah. Really quick.
Yeah. We're an hour 30.
Okay. Really quick, I wanted to, because I didn't say. So, if you guys want this glassware, support his dad, lemonsoda.com. And then the Instagram is lemonsodaLA.
It made my seltzer taste amazing.
Yeah.
Shout out to my dad. He's a big.
He's still on a, still grinding, bro. Like
he's
damn.
Still grinding. He's dude. He's such a big part of like. So he's in the warehouse every day with us now too. And like he takes so much off my play and Robbie's play. And like he's a hustler. He grinds hard. And yeah, like I owe so much of like how we run the company to him. And like he has a very different mentality, you know. But at the same time, like he grinds and like he distilled that into us. So if you buy any glasses, it'll mean a lot to me. So yeah. lemonsoda.com.
Get them for your mom or your dad. Like,
yeah. And they're yeah, good.
Mother's Day. Good birthday. Good
Mother's
present.
Day gift or warm, some shit.
Yeah.
When's Mother's Day? September? Oh, it's his
no,
mom.
Mother's yeah. Oh, wait. No, Mother's Day is in like March.
Oh, wait.
Is
that's my mom's birthday. September. My bad.
No, it's been gone.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay. Fucking thank you for coming on, dude. It's
yeah,
dope.
Thank you, bro.
It was a good conversation.
I thought we were like 45 minutes in. Like, this is crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. So if you guys want to support him, fucking buy some Young LA. yeah.
Use code Germer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited for the rest of this weekend. We're going to.
Oh, yeah.
Business meeting only.
Yeah.
Also, Boulevard coming soon.
Yes, sir.
Bossman's right here. He said it so.
Dude, the pair that we just got in the mail.
We got CG, a special pair.
The glasses are top quality, and you guys are going to love them. Like, we're spending money on these glasses. They're not like cheap.
Bro, that's what I'm fucking saying. These fucking guys are like, bro, glasses are $2 to make. What the fuck?
No, bro, like the unit cost behind some of these glasses is insane. We're not like, they're like titanium, this and that. We're not fucking around with like
the
quality. So it's like, you'll see, like you'll feel, when you feel it in your hands, it's like, it's going to be worth the money.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to sell them for cheap, obviously. Like, you know, cause it's,
I mean,
like,
it's way better. It's way better quality than a pair of Oakleys I bought. And those, that's like a well-known, I think I bought those for like, I don't know, $150 or something. And that was like plastic. These are like fucking titanium and they like grip your head.
And we did not like, if we were like, hey, people want this much money per pair, like cost wise, we're like, let's do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for Boulevard. It's going to be
sick. That's dope.
But yeah.
All right. Get tattoo.
Yes, I will very soon. I got to get this retouched too.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys in the next one.
Peace.